This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're going over, surprise, 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 another episode of our Four Weddings and a Funeral series. Ooh. And today we're on part 5. So if you haven't seen it and you don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one and we'll catch you next time.
Hey, gentle listeners.
Are you ready
for one dry kiss? Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cozy, irreverent love letter to rom-coms. And I am here with the woman that I have the Zaza Zoo with, my bestie better than the restie, Miss Tamara Cozio.
And I am here with my friend Corinne, who still loves me even though I am full of brain farts tonight, Corinne Edding.
I love all your farts, though. They're beautiful. They're musical.
Oh, what? They are musical. They are musical. Uh-huh. I agree with that. But yeah, no. I just dropped a grenade in my whole life right now, so everything's kind of up in upheaval, and it's not making me think too good because I am so scattered. So my apologies if it's just a stutter over things this episode.
Well, you know, you are having your own fun grenade stuff, and I, per use, having the grenade of my love life happening. So, you know, This is like the third time recently that I've gone out with a guy who's been like, I'm super into communication. I think that you're the best and you're amazing. And then they end up ghosting me. And I'm like, you know, maybe I'm supposed to like play it cooler, or maybe I'm supposed to be more restrained, or maybe I'm like, whatever, whatever, whatever. That's totally fine. But I want a guy, we're in our 40s now, I want a guy who can just be like, hey, I really like you, but I think that we need to take things slower and do things this way. Or I would feel more comfortable like being communicated with in this way. That would be great. I would love that. Instead, they just ghost me as if I was blowing up their phone, which I wasn't. Gentle listeners, I swear to you. But you know who was delightfully not super blowing up my phone, but like little dings of joy in my life?
Mm-mm.
Was once again on the old-timey podcast page. Somebody asked for podcast recommendations, and I, of course, threw our hat into the ring because I can and I do, and I can't stop, won't stop. And we had several gentle listeners who reached out and were like, hey, we listen and enjoy your podcast, and it's funny. And I was like, thank you, because Tam and I put a lot of work and effort into this, and so it's nice having some positive feedback every once in a while. So I would like to thank Megan and Elizabeth and Stacy and Linda all for listening to One Dry Kiss and saying hi. Yay! If you want to say hi to us, feel free. You can email us. Also, you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We love you. Hi!
I was so wanting to talk about something and I fucking forgot. Jesus Christ.
I know. I saw you looking up at the ceiling like... I have something.
No, I swear to God, this is going to bother me. Not this particular thing, but like just in general, just how I cannot like get it together. It's fine. It'll come together. It's just slow start. Slow start.
You know, Tam, you don't need a functioning brain. It doesn't matter if your brain hamster is like rolling around on the wheel instead of actually making it move in a circle. Instead, it's like,
You know, what I did want to talk about is something that we were discussing before we started recording, which was Corinne body dress once upon a time that had cute candy corns on it.
It was the candy corn striping.
Yeah, but it was of a questionable material that made her look like a, what did you say it was, Corinne, that you looked like?
An 80s McDonald's employee.
The polyester queen herself.
Yes.
That's also the employee of the month, the 80s polyester queen. So I told her that she really didn't like the material and would probably have been more comfortable just wearing the candy cords themselves. That just put all kinds of like pictures in my head. But I also had a clothing dilemma. Actually, it was kind of a pleasantly surprising synthetic fabric situation.
Okay.
I was in my car last week and Larry, for my birthday months ago, had bought me this off-the-shoulder, white, kind of a puffy pirate shirt that I wanted from Amazon.
Great.
Yeah. It sounds as good as it looks on me. But
you should have worn it to Disneyland. You could have been a Disney bounding. You could have Disney bounded Pirates of the Caribbean.
They probably wouldn't let me in. They're like, this is too close to the actual uniform. You're going to have to leave. So, yeah, it's kind of a puffy pirate shirt. And then one, I have gained a little bit of weight around my midsection. And so I'm self-conscious about my muffin top on my jeans because they all seem to give me muffin top. So I was like, you know what I haven't done is I haven't tried this flowy, nice shirt on top of my muffin top to see if it works. It did.
Yay!
So although I did resemble a pirate, still, I wore it one day and I was very happy because it fit in a way.
I am sure you looked like a saucy, sexy wench, so I'm here for it.
Yes, I did. Would you like an ale with that, mate? So I got in the car, and of course it's white, like brand new white, which is the worst kind of white because I always get shit on my clothes. In my car, made a cup of coffee. I even closed it, twisted it, wiped it down with the kitchen towel to make sure there was no coffee on it.
No.
Fuck me running.
No. No.
Opened the lid and there was some sort of pressure and it just like sprayed me with coffee.
No!
And I'm like, son of a bitch. Thankfully, I got it and I like patted everything dry. And miraculously, this synthetic fabric takes a lot of time to absorb liquid because it didn't even make a mark.
Oh my gosh, thank goodness.
Yes. And so I was like, holy cow, I like this shirt even more. But then I drove and took a drink and splootered all over the front of my shirt. This time I was a little less pissed because I'm like, it's okay. It's not going to absorb. It's going to be fine. And it was. But then I missed a little hoo-ha on the bottom where it actually did sploosh on there and I didn't see it. So by the time I got to work, I had two lovely little brown spots on the bottom hem of my shirt. But they came out beautifully with just water.
It was a
fucking Amazon miracle.
Oh,
so there is something to be said about synthetic fabrics. You may hate it, but it may take coffee right out with just water.
Thank you, synthetic fabric pirate shirt. We pay our tribute to you. You light up our life in your puffy-shouldered way. Hey, off the shoulder, of course.
Well, you're all wrong, Corinne. It's yo ho, yo ho. Thank God for the puffy shirt. It gets no stains. It gets out with what?
It repels rain.
And stains from coffee refrain. Yo ho, yo ho, the puffy white shirt for me.
Puffy pirate shirt. Yes. I'm here for the yo ho, yo ho, puffy pirate shirt.
Yeah, so your candy corn dress made me remember that shirt story. And so sad about that candy corn dress because Halloween is right around the corner.
It was like a polo shirt kind of dress. So it had like a little collar and then it had stripes in the color, like large band stripes in the color of candy corn.
Oh, so it didn't have actual candy corns on it. It was just candy corn stripe it. Okay.
Yes. And so it was more of like a candy corn inference, which I'm very into the vibe of inferred cuteness, you know?
Oh, so that McDonald's employee comment makes so much more sense now.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was these, like,
bitch, you want some fries with that?
Yes. It was like these rust tones, like brown and orange and white. Well, you know, but like, boom, right across. And then the collar with the rough weave polyester. It was like, McDonald's, I'm loving it. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm having all kinds of scenarios play out in my head where you wear that on your first date and say with a matching hat and potentially a backpack with a big golden arch on it in the shape of an M. And then when things are either going really, really bad or really, really good, you could just look at them seductively and say, do you want to supersize that? And see where it goes. And see where it goes.
I was going to say, I'm sorry, I've got to get to work. I'm missing my shift.
Or that.
Yeah.
Maybe mine could be if it's going good and yours could be if it's going bad.
Yes, absolutely.
You won't need somebody to call you and give you an out. You're like, oh shit, my shift starts in 15 minutes.
So I gotta go. It's just down the street though. I'm not gonna give you a discount, but I'll be happy to take your order at the drive-thru. Yes.
Just don't act like you know me. Speaking of fast food, did you happen to catch in this episode where Maya at the very end said that she knows how to fight because she worked
at the McDonald's in Oakland?
At the McDonald's in Oakland.
Hell yeah.
Only two ketchup per customer.
I was like, I've been to that McDonald's. I know.
Yeah.
So my
I was all, which one? Which one?
Seriously. That's what I was thinking. I was like, Maya, you're from Oakland?
Shut up. Where's everybody else from? Well, they met in college, so yeah. They didn't meet in high school. Dang. It would be kind of cool if they were all Oaklanders, Oaklandites.
I actually don't know what Oaklanders are called. The Oaklander A's.
Didn't they go to Vegas? Aren't they going to Vegas or
yes,
something like that?
Yes, they are. They're going to Vegas. But first, they're doing a pit stop in Sacramento for a season or two. Well, I think they need to prepare whatever place they're going to be in Vegas. And they're leaving Oakland. And so, pit stop Sacramento. And I'm just like, my precious A's, my team from the start, is leaving me.
Yay. Yay, sports. You know what? I think that's a crock of shit. I think they're really going to Sacramento just to prepare themselves for the heat that they're going to be enduring in Las Vegas versus Oakland. They're going to be like, what in the Sam hell? Oh, no, I quit.
Yeah.
I'm done with baseball now.
I'm so upset about the A's leaving. The Raiders I did not care about at all, but the A's, I was like, don't go, I love you.
Well, you still have the Giants.
They're not an Oakland team.
I know, but they're across the pond if you want to get your little baseball fix.
Not the same. Totally not the same. Different league.
Okay, you're scaring me with all this sports talk that you're doing right now. I don't even know.
Well,
I don't even know what to do with my hands.
Oh my God, I'm so excited that we're doing For Weddings and a Funeral Part Sank.
Cinco de Four Weddings and a Funeral.
See, yes, that one. And I triumphantly just aced the script on this one. I was within my page parameters. I felt like I had won the lottery. It was a beautiful day. But what I'm really wondering, Tam.
Mm-hmm.
Can you regale us with a recap of what happened in episode 4, Quattro Quattro?
Well, I sure can, Corinne, because a lot happened. A whole lot happened in our last episode. First of all, in case you haven't heard, Quentin, Gemma's husband, died of an aneurysm.
No!
He was the funeral, not Papa Haroon, thank goodness, but still sad.
Yes, but Haroon was the only parent in that household. And,
yeah.
And so, like, if I had to choose, it'd be saving Haroon.
Of course.
Yeah.
Gemma then went against Quentin's parents, the Thorpe Bloods, wishes and traditions, and on
the Thorpe Bloods.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I pronounced that incorrectly. The Thorpe Bloods.
There we go.
Gemma went against his parents, the Thorpe Bloods, wishes and traditions, and honored him with the funeral she and her son really wanted. Duffy got real close to Tabby, even let her read his 1,400-page book. Then shunned her when she had notes, shocking, a.k.a. she only really liked 20 pages. Then he got his head out of his ass. They reconciled until she uttered those three little words, I love you. Mm. Too soon, Tabby, too soon. Meanwhile, Craig spent the whole episode looking for his lost love, Zara. But none of Zara's friends were spilling the beans about where she was until primetime TV told Craig she had gone on to a dating reality show called Love Chalet.
Yay, Love Chalet.
Papa Haroon pushed Cash to try dating through the mosque. And though Cash was apprehensive, he ultimately did and met a fabulous girl named Fatima. But they're dating it old school with chaperones and no touching and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So cute, but not very hot.
No.
Then we found out that Maya hadn't been to a funeral since her mother's. So she was reluctant to go to Quentin's funeral, which she ultimately did. But this caused her to consume copious amounts of wine afterwards, which made her decision-making skills squidgy. Mm. So when Duffy showed up at her doorstep.
Don't do it.
In the pouring rain.
Don't do it.
To tell her that he couldn't love Tabby the way he loved her. Ugh. We don't know if the huge smooch Maya planted on his lips were a mistake or not.
Mm.
And that, in a nutshell, is what happened last episode.
Oh, Maya. Maya, what are you thinking? Yikes.
I hope we'll find out, because I was like, I'm not sure how to feel about this.
Well,
so maybe you can help me out, Corinne, and tell me how I should feel about this and get us started on this Cinco de Four Weddings and a Funeral. Bow, 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 bow.
Well, you know, the title of my first segment is Oops, Duffy's Dick Accidentally Fell Inside Me. So
I hate when that happens.
I know. First it's Senator McCheaty Pants and the dog walker, and now it's her and Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
You know those mornings when you wake up full of so many regrets? Well, Maya is waking up this morning with all of those regrets as she finds herself naked in bed with Duffy, realizing all of his dreams and haunting her reality.
Mm.
Duffy looks happily over at her, but once he sees the time, he springs up as he's got to get back to school before the boys go Lord of the Flies on each other. Maya asks, so should we talk about this? And Duffy says, yeah, how about we talk over dinner tonight? And she agrees. As Duffy leaves, Ainsley sees him exiting and invites him to breakfast, but he declines, dashing out the door. As soon as the front door shuts, Ainsley dashes thirstily upstairs. She wants the deets. Maya shares, to a very excited Ainsley, that she's not sure. Yeah, he's cute and nice, but then he'd do something like show up to graduation in a Star Wars outfit, and that would quickly pour water on any flame of passion that may have been smoldering in her heart in the past.
Mm.
However, she does admit, yeah, he was good. Okay, great in bed. I have a very hard time believing that, but, you know, whatever.
I know, and she said it pretty emphatically. Like, okay, he's great in bed. And I'm like, Duffy?
Yeah.
The guy that just left? Duffy, that one? Okay.
Not Fuffy or Guffy or Tuffy. We're talking about Duffy. Okay. What is Duffy short for anyways? Like Dufferton?
Duffington.
Duffington the third. Dufford?
Apparently, yes. Duffington deferred. Duffington Dicklicious the third. Because apparently he's got a big one.
That's true. You know, sometimes when you don't have it all together, a big dick can help compensate.
When things aren't going on up top, they might be going on downstairs, mm-hmm. is what you're saying. All the hotness is concentrated into the crotchal region. Yes. Is that where you're going with
yes.
this?
Yes. Hmm. Do you want some sausage on that pizza?
Yeah.
Ainsley is just happy that Maya is finally with a nice guy and not with Senator McCheaty Pants. And I totally agree with Ainsley's enthusiasm around that. However, has she seen a spark between them in the past? No. Has she always known that Duffy has had it mad for Maya? Yes. So, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they probably didn't want to interfere, or they were all doing a watch and wait and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But I think Ainsley's glad because Maya's been with shitheads and she knew Duffy loved her since he was 19. But at the same time, I don't think she loves it because she thinks it's the best scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably going to come later. Maybe I'm forecasting what happens. I'm not sure. I haven't watched the next episode for a while, but and especially the way that Maya woke up, like when she woke up in the morning, she like looked over like, oh fuck.
Yes.
Like, and that expression on her face was just like, Jesus Christ, what did I do? And I was like, hot.
Yeah. That does not look like, oh yay. No, mm-hmm. No.
That is the same expression I had when I overserved myself one evening at my neighbor's house, came home, locked the door, fell asleep, got sick in the toilet, accidentally got some in my hair, proceeded to go to bed with pukey hair and was so gonked out of it that I did not hear my ex-boyfriend and his brother come home and try to get in because they didn't have their keys and I locked the door. And apparently I wasn't answering my phone or the very loud pounding that was going on outside. I had that same expression on my face when I woke up the next day.
How did they get in?
They literally broke the door.
Shut!
They kicked it so that the locking mechanism, like, unhinged, but then they were able like to pop it back into place. And like, so it still locked that evening, but it was just like all wonky. And then they called the landlady and was like, I don't know what happened to the door.
Genius.
Yeah. Anywho, that evening, Maya goes out to a nice place for dinner with Duffy, and he excitedly effuses, I have no regrets, except maybe I should have done this sooner. But then I was afraid you wouldn't feel the same. He looks at Maya, who's looking at him with a flat demeanor and a smidge of fear in her eyes, and he quickly backpedals. Oh no, you don't like me? You don't feel the same? Maya calms him and says, we've known each other forever. You're one of my best friends. She pauses and gets a small smile on her face, which is why I think we should give this a shot. And, dating pro tip, reel in the desperation a smidge if you're on your first official date, Duffy, because I was just like, ah,
yeah,
quit.
Yeah, too much, too much.
Don't you like me? You don't like me. Okay, I'm going to leave right now. Thanks, okay, bye.
Oh, Duffy. Now for the really exciting news. Gemma's son, Giles, is going to Peace School for Boys. Yay! And living at home. Cash has gone out on several dates with Fatima. And although they haven't even held hands, he really likes her. And Zara is on Love Chalet. Love Chalet. Love Chalet. Which is like the wildly popular UK series Love Island, except that instead of everyone wearing bikinis and swim trunks and being stuck in a villa in a warm place, everyone is in a snowy place stuck in a chalet and still wearing bikinis, but the men are wearing boxer briefs for the most part, because of course.
Mm-hmm. There was a lot that was happening. Giles was going to school, Cash and Fatima. All that stuff. There was a lot of sections you condensed into that nice little nugget, Corinne. Thank you.
Bikinis and boxer
briefs and boxers
in a wintry setting. Yes.
Right. Forgot mm-hmm. that. Yes. Yes. Cannot forget that. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't have forgotten
nope.
that.
Nope.
We get to see a bit of Love Chalet because it's UK's most watched reality show. And everybody watches it, including Her Majesty the Queen. R.I.P. In one of the episodes, the TV narrates, things are really heating up, as we see a pic of a snowy landscape and the isolated Love Chalet.
Ooh.
Week 2, things are going well with Duncan and Zara, but things shift wildly in week 4, when Zara remarks to Duncan, I love the smell of your cologne. And Duncan explains, oh, it's a new scent. I'm glad you like it. But they are interrupted by Paul, who exclaims, I know you smell good because that's my cologne you stole. I write my name on it for a reason. You can't read or something? Duncan retorts angrily, you know I can read. I just told you I started Percy Jackson. He gets up from where he was sitting next to Zara, and things look like they're about to get heated. But when he walks over to Paul and stares deeply in his eyes and says, has it ever occurred to you that I wore your cologne because I wanted to smell like you? I love that way that you smell. I love everything about you. Then we see it's not getting heated in the I'm gonna kick your ass cologne thief kind of way. Instead, Paul and Duncan kiss, and it's more like I may kiss your cologne stealing ass, literally, a little bit later. And it's a good kiss, by the way.
Yes.
All this on Love Chalet.
Yes. Oh, that was so exciting when I saw that, because on Love Island, there has yet to be any guy-on-guy action, but there have been a couple of lady-on-lady love-lationships.
Didn't they have a dating reality show where it was a bunch of bisexual people? I can't remember what that was.
Yes, I do think they did have that, and I did not watch that hot mess, but... You know,
I'm just saying, if you want to see some guy on guy action, that might be a good start.
If I want to see some guy on guy action, I can watch Queer as Folk
or porn, whichever, you know,
it's practically the same thing, except Queer as Folk has more of a plot line. So, yes.
Oh, I beg to differ. Porn has a plot line. I've got your pizza right here
with the extra sausage for you.
6 weeks in, Zara has moved in on the other contestant, Garrett. They are sitting in the hot tub as she explains to him that she bribed the producer so she could win this game. He looks at her with a combination of excitement and blankness, asking, what's so clever? I never think of something like that. Why'd you do it? She smiles charmingly at him. So I can go on a date with you. The date is them sitting in the hot tub together, drinking a glass of champagne, and they kiss. And all the while, Craig watches Zara's journey with compounding disbelief. She'd really be interested in those knuckleheads over him? And how has she been able to last in the cold this long in a bikini when she is always bundled up, even when the heater is set to 70 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 21 degrees Celsius? The world will never know.
I also have to make a Love Island comment because I love Love Island. Mm-hmm. It is no secret. So they end up getting to go on different dates with their like partners and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the narrator usually makes jokes about it. And it's totally true about it being just like basically a card table in, you know, out front or off to the side with some like fruit and a bottle of champagne, basically. Right. It's basically like what you saw. And whenever they come back from their dates, they're like, it was the best date that I've ever been on. And I'm like, really? You sat at a little table and ate some grapes and drank some champagne together. I mean, I'm not saying that it's not nice to get away from the villa and the other people, but this is not like epically romantic.
That sucks. When you said dates, I'm like, oh, so they go like whale watching or they go on a yacht to watch the sunset.
Nope.
Or helicopter ride over the ocean. They're on a card table with fruit and champagne.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes they're on the beach on a blanket with fruit and champagne.
Oh, well, that makes it so much different. I guess.
I mean, sometimes they are in like a somewhat scenic area, but it's usually like, oh, they're next to a field or something like that. You know? Yeah.
Ooh, a field.
I know.
Nothing says a great date like a field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh. Anyways, Craig is watching another episode of Love Chalet, and Garrett and Zara are in the confessional together.
Oh.
Zara says to the camera, when we first kissed, it was like lightning striking. Garrett agrees. Yeah, or like lightning that makes the noise. Zara smiles tightly. Thunder, babe. Garrett chuckles. Yeah, like thunder from down under. I was in that. Zara kind of laughs and rubs her forehead with her index finger, smiling and making eye contact with the camera. Craig sees what she's doing and he knows with 100% certainty that Zara is talking to him. And she obviously wants Craig to rescue her, as they both use that code of scratching their forehead as a subtle clue for when they're talking to somebody lame and needed to be rescued.
And I didn't put this into the script, but I'm just going to add it in real quick. Like, Craig calls Duffy and is like, this happened. She did this. It's when they need to be rescued. And Duffy was like, oh, no, she does that all the time when she's talking to me.
like almost every time.
Yeah. Craig's like, yeah, okay, moving on.
But Duffy's a good friend because he's like, okay, crazy pants, I'll come over next week and we'll watch the show together to see if your ex-girlfriend is communicating with you through the TV, okay?
Mm-hmm. The one that ditched you and disappeared, yes.
On to a dating show to date and find love.
With a bunch of...
Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? Yeah.
Six-packed men who are wearing their boxer briefs around the house. Yeah. The chalet.
Oh, I spoiler, because we see Craig without a shirt later on. And just saying, those Love Chalet guys got some competition.
Yes. Craig knows what he's doing. Throughout the Love Chalet business, Maya and Duffy were regularly watching together, and their relationship is progressing. Nay, blossoming.
Nay, definitely nay.
So we're not surprised to see Maya at Duffy's dorm room, but there's about as much sexual chemistry between them as there is between me and Tam. Scratch that. Me and Tam
I'm sorry, what?
Me and Tam have more sexual chemistry. But because there's actual chemistry between us, even though it's not sexual, there's no chemistry between Maya and Duffy, just period.
Okay. Scared me there, Corinne. I love you. I love you in a sisterly way.
I'm
way.
I'm not professing romantic love for you. I am just saying that there's more dynamic and more zing between us than there is between Maya and Duffy. Maya and Duffy,
okay.
You hang out with them and you watch them interact and it's like watching paint peel.
Maybe paint dry. I don't know. Paint peel is kind of...
too exciting.
Although, yeah, too exciting. Paint dry is more accurate.
Uh-huh. Hey, Duffy is thrilled and Maya is placidly nice. Perhaps I'm reading this wrong, but it really seems like there's no dynamism, zazazoo, zing between them.
Mm.
Tam, let's name some things, people, or couples that have more chemistry than Maya and Duffy.
Okay. How about Maya and Cash? Or Cash and Fatima? Or Duncan and Paul, the fucking guys that just kissed in Love Chalet? Or...
truth.
Bashir and Nani, the fucking best friend.
Yes.
And the grandma chaperones.
I think you're right about that, too. Yeah.
Even Duffy and Tabby looked better.
Yes.
Than Maya and Duffy. And I would even, dare I say it, I'm going to put it out there. Oh. This is going to be a controversial take.
Okay.
Tony 1 and Tony 2 had more chemistry than those two.
Oh, that is a controversial take. Yeah, well, that's because Tony 2 wanted to murder Tony 1, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I'm sure he probably would have murdered that dick, too, under the right circumstances.
He's just like, okay, but I have to get drunk enough to just... And Tony 1 would be like, what?
Can you do my laundry in the morning? Because I don't know which one's the washer and the dryer.
I'm going to need you to make breakfast for me, okay? Because, like, pouring milk into cereal is too hot.
Yeah, but don't think you could use the stove. I'm not allowed. So it's going to have to be, like, either cereal or Pop-Tarts. Because I'm only authorized to use and function the toaster.
That sounds very dangerous, actually. Mm-hmm. So, yes, in spite of what we think about their chemistry, Maya insists that she's happy with things, and Duffy runs happily off to the cafeteria to grab them some breakfast.
Hot.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, next we see Craig throwing his Love Chalet party, and he invites Cash because Ainsley, you know, they have some history together, is working late because there was an unexpected windfall. A divorcee named Harper Dillon, who has a six fucking bedroom
townhome. What the fucking
six
hell?
Six bedroom townhouse.
Yeah.
And she wants to cram it as full of expensive things as possible before her divorce is finalized. So she's soliciting Ainsley's help. And Ainsley, of course, is thrilled because this is a multi-$1,000 sale and honey needs to support herself as her parents have cut her off. But because of this, she's not able to attend the party. And when Cash finds this, he's lukewarm about coming. Until Craig adds that Maya's also going to be there and Duffy. Mm-hmm. And Cash's face lights up and he states casually, not casually, yeah, I'll try to make it. Since he agreed, Craig takes this opportunity to take advantage of his friend and says, great, then can you also bring napkins, paper plates, ice, plastic forks, and 2 microwavable safe serving bowls? Before he heads out the door to prep for the party, whatever that is, because Cash is bringing everything. And when Cash scoffs at this, Craig declares, what? I'm not good at this. Zara used to do all the party planning. And then leaves in a huff.
In a huff. Are you ready for some Love Chalet?
Yes.
That evening at Craig's Lux apartment, Maya...
Whoa, now that you said that, it just prompted my memory on something I've been dying to ask
you. Okay.
Craig's apartment.
Yes.
It is interesting. He's got like an animal print couch. He's got light up dice, it looks like, as a ceiling fixture above his kitchen island. He has a huge silver tic-tac-toe game on his wall as an art piece.
Yes.
And of course, there is the self-portrait of him.
Yes.
Do you think that Ainsley decorated this, or is this a Craig and Zara like mashup? Because I, no matter what it is, it's pretty tacky. So I want to know who to hold responsible for the decor in this posh apartment.
Craig, I don't think Zara had anything to do. Maybe she had something to do with the animal print couch, but I don't think she'd be like, you know what would be lovely? Putting dice in above our kitchen counter.
But also, Craig and Ainsley are very good friends, so don't you think he'd be like, hey, Ains, I'm going to shoot you over here to decorate my apartment so I can throw you some shekels and you can take care of my shit for me.
I think that he got the apartment before she was situated in her design business, and he hadn't, he just hadn't gotten around to updating it from the beautiful bachelor pad that it is. Who doesn't want a giant silver tic-tac-toe on their wall? Huh?
It's not even a real game. That's why I was like, nobody won there. Nobody won there. If you have feelings about this, gentle listeners, please chime in because I am dying to know. Was it Ainsley? Was it Craig? Was it Zara? Or was it some other person with horrific taste? And if I'm wrong about this, I apologize, but that apartment is woof.
I'm going to need to take another look at Craig's apartment because I noticed the tic-tac-toe on the wall, and that was about the only notable thing other than the giant Zara and Craig portraits, you know.
Nothing says taste like giant portraits of yourself, particularly when your boyfriend's backside is fully naked and you're fully clothed facing the camera. That's class right there. Class and elegance, all rolled up in one.
Just you wait until you come over and see the two giant portraits I have of us on the wall.
Oh, fuck right off with that. I'm going to say the same thing Craig did. Who took these pictures?
Let's see here. Okay. Ah.
I interrupted you half a sentence in.
Oh, yeah, you did. So that evening at Craig's Lux apartment that's beautifully decorated, impeccably decorated.
Oh, well, you can just shut right the fuck up right there. You just said you got to go back and look at it. You're just doing that to chat my hide.
Yes, I am. Maya and Craig are sitting on the delightful animal print couch.
All right. That's it. See, you wouldn't even know it was animal print if I didn't tell you.
Well, Duffy does something with drinks in the kitchen. Craig excitedly whispers to Maya, so how's it going? Maya assures him with a smile that doesn't reach her eyes and words that say, well, since we've known each other, we've skipped the whole giddy excited part, but everything is going really well. How romantic.
Yay.
We skipped the fun part of falling in love and now we're in the boring part. That sounds amazing.
Now we're in the we've been married for 12 years and know everything about each other part.
Mm-hmm. Craig responds, well, all that matters is that you have that spark, that feeling that if you were separated by time, space, or a reality show, you'd still be together. Maya looks like a deer caught in the headlights when he says this, but she doesn't have a chance to respond because week 8 of Love Chalet starts. And right off the bat, Craig has a chance to show Maya and Duffy the secret signal that he swears Zara is sending him. Zara rubs her forehead with her index finger when Catronia accuses her of keeping secrets and lies in her handbag.
I'm sorry, did you say Catronia?
I did.
Catronia.
Yes, that's her name. Or maybe it's Catronia? Oh my. Yeah, but yes.
Okay, she sounds like a thundercat.
She wishes she was a thundercat. She is nowhere near that cool.
Are you kidding me? Catronia, ho!
It's Chitara's evil twin sister, Catronia. Maya and Duffy don't see it, but Craig swears, I know she's sending me signals. It's like we have couple ESP. Back in Love Chalet, Zara heads over to Garrett and complains, Catronia, ho, is being mean to me for no reason. Garrett assures her, don't worry, babe. She's just upset that Ronnie invited someone else on his one-on-one s'mores date.
See, that's... You didn't tell me they had s'mores. You said champagne and fruit. There was nothing said about s'mores.
Okay, well, they're in Love Chalet, so it's not, you know, they're not going to do s'mores on Love Island where it's like tropical and warm. S'mores is a camping, cold weather activity.
I'm sure they've had bonfires on Love Island, I'm sure. Where there's a bonfire, they could be s'mores.
I mean, they do have like cute little fireplaces around, but bonfire would be like...
That'll also work.
Too exciting.
Fireplaces will also work.
Yes.
For s'mores. Just saying.
Little fire pits. Yeah. Garrett moves closer to her and they start making out. Craig's face falls. Come on, he says to the TV. Scratch your head. But the only scratching that is happening is Garrett's underwear against Zara's leg as he maneuvers her onto the lounge bed and starts dry humping her.
Ooh.
Maya and Duffy look on with concern, and the uncomfortable moment is broken by Cash and Bashir arriving with eco-friendly paper products. Bashir introduces himself and Duffy introduces himself and his girlfriend, Maya. He's so peeing on her. And this is my girlfriend, Maya. Cash's face falls because he didn't know Maya was with someone. And also, Duffy? What the fuck?
Really?
Bashir's jaw drops.
Wow, bruv. She's your girlfriend?
Duffy looks a little put out.
Yes?
Bashir says disbelievingly.
Congratulations, big man. Gives me hope.
Oh, man, I love that line so much.
I hate to say it, but I don't even think that Duffy's in the same realm as Bashir.
Oh, hell no. I would date Bashir in a hot fucking second.
Bashir and Maya would probably have more chemistry than Maya and Duffy.
100%. Because you know they would have, like, if nothing else, really cool dynamic conversations with each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. As the night wears on, Maya leaves the couch to make her and Duffy margaritas. Or really, just to secretly try and get herself really, really drunk as she stands at the counter, pouring, sipping off the top, and pouring, and sipping off the top, and pouring more tequila into her margarita. Cash approaches her trying to start a conversation, and at first, Maya isn't having it. But she and Cash end up slipping easily into conversation with each other until Duffy gets off the couch and calls out, Maya, yo quiero a margarita.
Ugh.
Maya realizes why she's there, grabs the two drinks, and absentmindedly hands the tequila-rita to Duffy. Instead of the properly proportioned margarita, Duffy takes a drink and sputters, wow, someone is really trying to get me drunk, winky winky.
Ew.
Maya smiles stiffly and returns to her place on the couch. But before she does, I just have one thing to say. Yes, mm-hmm. It was true that it did look like a tequila Rita because it looked like mostly tequila yes. In the glasses. But the glasses were half full. So do you know what you do if you have a tequila Rita that's too strong in a half full margarita glass? You fill it up with margarita mix. Problem solved.
Yes.
Oh, I hate that when I'm like, I know that we're not supposed to be like really intellectually invested in what's going on, but you gotta have a glass there, people. Not even half a glass. I think I pay entirely too much attention to the drinks and the cocktails and the margaritas in this movie.
Tamara's gonna wear a shirt. Save the tequila Ritas.
Save the tequila Ritas. Friends don't let friends waste tequila Ritas.
Yes.
Maya smiles stiffly and returns to her place on the couch. On Love Chalet, Zara is explaining to Garrett that Craig, her ex, was so secretive she figured she might as well be dating a stranger, which is why she decided to come to Love Chalet to date strangers. Garrett smiles happily back at her and says, I came here to promote my line of protein powder, but I didn't realize that while I was here, I'd add mass to my heart.
Ew.
Zara aws at this, ew, and Garrett vows that he wants to take her to the fantasy suites, which Bashir explains, oh, you don't want to go in there? Silken robes, champagne, hot tubs, a giant bed, and sex. Very likely sex. Before Craig has a chance to react, Ainsley bursts triumphantly through the door, exclaiming, sorry I'm late, but Mama just sold 300,000 pounds of furniture. Then her face falls as she sees Cash, and Cash sees her, and they're both very surprised in different ways by each other. Does she say, Cash, it's so good to see you. We could really use another cleansing talk. Does she awkwardly sit and watch Love Chalet, pretending everything is fine? Or does she do something dynamic? And you can find out how Ainsley reacts after this break. And we're back. Ainsley is crestfallen, and Cash, full of, oh shit, I shouldn't have come. Ainsley demands, what is he doing here? And Craig defends himself. Cash is my friend, and I'm going through a really hard time right now with my girlfriend kissing some other guy on national television. But Ainsley isn't having it. She turns on her heel and calls out to Maya, who follows her, and as a result, Duffy hustles after both of them. Now it's just Craig, Cash, and Bash in the apartment, and Bashir acts excitedly. Do you mind if we stay? I'd really like to see what happens. Craig stares blankly at him. And to DJ Foreplay, that's obviously a yes. So he says, thanks, bro. And clicks play on Love Chalet. Although he's the only one watching it at that point because both Cash and Craig are just reeling in what the fuck just happened with Ainsley.
Mm-hmm.
And on the TV.
Yeah.
But also Ainsley. A combination of the two.
Yeah. I'm just like, I don't think Ainsley is being fair.
I mean, she had that argument. She said that she's known Craig since college, sure. And she's only known Cash for a couple of years. But, I mean, she's still, it's still really fresh. So I can imagine, I think she'll probably come around, but right now it's still like, fuck you, you're my friend. Stay away from this guy, at least for the time being.
But she was like, hey, I'm not coming because of X. So I understand her not wanting him to be invited to social events that she's going to be at, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
She wasn't supposed to be there, though, because she was doing something else, and she told Craig that.
Uh-huh.
And also, she shouldn't be dictating who Craig is friends with.
That's fair, but also, a couple of episodes when she was like, you're not friends with him, right, Craig? And Craig's like, no, and like slapping down the picture frame of them arm in arm together. So he was kind of gaslighting her and saying,
true,
I'm not friends with that guy.
Yeah.
So of course she's going to be like surprised and like, what the fuck is he doing here? You're not supposed to be friends with him, instead of maybe in a different environment where things aren't so heated, being like, you know, he's still my friend. They should have had that conversation before this moment. And I don't think she would have acted the way she did.
I think she totally would have acted the same way. However, she agree with you about her being blindsided because Craig gaslit her 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he was also like a little bit gentle about it. He's like, look, what happened with you was shitty, and I'm sorry that, you know, he left you at the altar, but he's still my friend.
Yeah.
So he wasn't like, oh, fuck you, Ainsley. No. Like, you're gonna put up or shut up.
No. The next day, Ainsley comes into her shop and Tony, too, bursts through the swinging doors from the back room onto the shop floor, exclaiming, oh my God, Love Chalet. Is Craig absolutely ruined? Ainsley angrily states, I don't want to talk about Craig. But before Tony, too, gets a chance to find out what's going on, the shop door rings and through the door steps a very handsome American played by Dermot Mulroney. Tim. Do you have a nickname for him, as we don't hear his name this entire episode?
How about we call him Tony 3?
Yes! Tony 3! That's perfect. Tony 3 demands, are you Ainsley Howard? Irritated, she replies, yeah, dude, who are you? The man states, in an American accent, a little bit southern, I'm Harper Dillon's ex-husband, Tony 3, and I'm not paying for any of that shit she just bought. If you cash that $300,000 pound check, I'll be suing you as an accomplice in a financial crime. Here's my lawyer's contact information if you have any questions. He starts walking towards the exit when Ainsley stops him. Hey, I'm not afraid of you. I'll cash whatever check I want. Men like you think they can screw over women and get away with it. Harper told me all about you. She points accusingly at him, the psychopath who burned all of her shoes. The man raises his eyebrows. Yeah, because she slept with my brother. And everyone was like, don't be angry. Let it go. Move on. Therapize yourself and transcend. And I tried that. And then I realized, after I tripped over one of her precious red-bottomed shoes, that I was fucking angry, and the only thing that would make me feel better was to burn those shoes into plasticky sludge.
Ooh, let's call them the Louis Vuitton burner then.
That doesn't quite roll off the tongue as well as Tony 3.
Oh, well, Louis Vuitton burner, Louis Vuitton burner, Louis Vuitton burner.
Tony 2, mourning the loss of the shoes, states, but it didn't make you feel better. And the man says, excuse me. And the Louis Vuitton burner says, Yeah, right? Just rolls off the tongue. No, it made me feel great. That is until yesterday when I got an alert from my bank. Ainsley tries to remain firm. I'm sorry that's awful, but this is business, he responds softly. That woman took a lot from me. Please don't cash that check.
Does he? Does he cash? Or does she? I would have cashed that check. No, I wouldn't. Yeah. God damn, that's a lot of money. It's 1 week later, and Giles is thriving at Peeth. He even has friends his own age now. Gemma's having a hard time letting go, but Duffy assures her that he's thriving and in a good place. But more important than a child's health and well-being, love chalet, right? Am I right?
Yes!
We're on week 9, and Cash Bash, Nani and Fatima are watching it at one house, and Ainsley, Maya, and Duffy are watching it at another. Everybody's watching Love Chalet. Maya and Duffy wonder aloud where Craig is, but Ainsley, who is angrily chopping something in the kitchen, doesn't care! That is, until Zara has her Love Chalet moment, where she may pick Garrett or the newcomer Liam for the fantasy suite date.
Ooh.
The host, who in real life is Laura Whitmore and hosted several seasons of Love Island, asks Zara who she'll choose, and then says, but your choice is a bit tougher, and through the chalet doors, in a beautiful pair of hot pink boxer briefs, bursts, Craig? He exclaims, Zara, I know I've been holding back, but all that ends now. I'm going to share with you and the whole world all of my secrets. Zara looks terrified. Craig, no, no, that's not necessary. But Craig insists, sharing such things as, I get silicone butt injections. I secretly sell Magic the Gathering cards under the username Craig the Fly Wizard 69. He continues, but my biggest secret is that I knew from the first moment I saw you that I was in love. He gets down on one knee and proposes to Zara while she looks on terrified. And Zara's Love Chalet beau Barrett looks afeard of having Zara snatched away from him. So Zara pauses a beat and responds stonily, no, I can't marry you, Craig, leaving all the viewers shooketh.
Gosh. I was shooketh too.
I was so surprised because if she was signaling to him and he finally came clean and was like, I'm open and available and ready to be everything you want me to, I totally thought she was going to say yes.
Me too.
This is the part where I say that Craig can have a run for his money with the other guys in Love Chalet because all he was wearing was the pink boxer briefs. Just saying.
He was wearing the proper Love Chalet outfit for a man on the series. Yes.
Boxer briefs and UGG boots.
Yeah. And the women wear bikinis and a fluffy jacket. Yeah.
Yes.
But open so you can see the bikini underneath. Yeah. A few days later, Cash is hanging out with Bashir, Nani, and Fatima at Fatima's house. Cash is in the kitchen prepping food while the rest are sitting on the couch watching TV. Fatima gets up to see if Cash needs any help in the kitchen, and he surprises her with a plate of cannoli. Have you ever had a cannoli, holy cannoli?
Yes.
I never have, but it seemed patently unappealing to me. Sorry, all you cannoli lovers out there, because it's filled with cheese, and I just don't get it.
It's underwhelming. I feel bad for saying that because my cousins are half Italian, and they always like, cannoli, we got to get some cannolis. And I'm like, why? It would be probably, I would liken it to, Corinne, you said this a long time
pan
ago.
Dulce.
Once you said it, I cannot get it out of my head when you said pan dulce tastes like stale bread.
No,
stale sweet bread.
Sawdust.
And I'm like,
yeah.
You said stale sweet. Okay. You said stale bread.
Yeah, stale sweet bread.
I don't
bread.
Remember the sawdust, sure. But you said stale sweet bread. And every time I eat it, I'm like, uh-huh, I can see what you mean now. If I didn't have the nostalgia tied to it, this probably wouldn't be that good. Same thing with cannolis.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Me and Pan Dulce don't get along. I'm like, okay, I don't get the appeal. I mean, I would eat it if I needed to be polite, but that's about as far as it goes. At first, Fatima doesn't know what they are, but when Cash explains excitedly, they're cannoli. You said you've never tasted them before. She smiles as she tentatively grabs one and takes a bite. And
a teeny bite.
Yeah.
A teeny tiny bite.
They're okay-ish. They both laugh at her lackluster response to legendary cannolis. And then he says, oh, you have something on your face. And she says, here? Trying to clean the area, but she's not getting the spot. Cash moves in closer, the KISS tractor beam locking on, and gently wipes away the cannoli crumb with his thumb. They look at each other like they're about to kiss, but kisses interruptus.
Well, we haven't had one of these in a while.
I know. Cash's phone dings, breaking the tractor beam. Craig has texted him asking, going to the club, bring you girl. Craig is asking because Duffy came by and is trying to cheer the very forlorn Craig up with a night of debauchery at the club. Cash asks Fatima, hey, you want to go to the club with me and my friends? She asks cautiously, you mean without a chaperone? Just the two of us? Cash smiles, yeah, like a real date. Fatima's face closes off and she responds, we committed to doing this process and I want to continue it that way. So why don't you and Bash go? I'm totally fine with that. You and Bashir go out and enjoy your evening. She lightens things up a little bit by saying jokingly, and don't you go doing anything too Western.
Oh, this next section's called The Club. This is my nightmare. This is my nightmare. Oh, in my 20s, how much I loved clubbing, and oh, how much I would just hate it right now. Gemma's at home, sadly eating all by herself. She don't want to be all by herself. Because Giles is at a sleepover when her phone buzzes. It's Duffy inviting her out to the club. She exclaims, oh, thank God. Diddle-loo, to the club. Gemma, Maya, Duffy, Cash, Bash, and Craig are all at the club. They have a table with bottle service being paid for on Craig and Cash's company card. Craig and Cash must be there under the guise that they're having a business meeting because both of them are in suits. Maybe things have changed since I went to clubs, but wearing business suits was not a thing back in the day for clubbing. Oh, I beg to differ. When you had those finance bros that were like, in case you didn't know I was in finance, I'm going to wear the suit so you think I have money.
They were doing that in Fresno?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Not a lot of them, but some of them were.
Because, you know, when we went out to the club together, there was not a suit in sight.
No, it wasn't like rampant. It's not like suit-tastic out there. But there were a couple of guys that were like, did you see this suit? Did you know that I wear a suit? Do you want to know why? No. No, thank you. Their dynamic is full on weird. Duffy is thrown by Cash being there and immediately wants to leave because he doesn't want to betray Ainsley. Maya counters, we should stay, we're here for Craig. And she's thrown when she sees Gemma, who is there without Ainsley? Bashir is much like Corinne at these kinds of things and is drinking sparkling apple cider. Beep, beep, beep. And Craig is being hit on by single and not single women due to his appearance on Love Chalet. Gemma is hitting the bottle pretty hard, like straight out of the vodka bottle with no chaser, and the crew is having a good time on the dance floor. Cash and Maya make eye contact.
What about eye contact?
That's what I said.
Okay.
The fourth time. And dance adjacent to each other, but not with each other. When the crew is taking a break from the dancing, Bashir brings up Nani and Fatima. And when Gemma asks who Fatima is, Cash very vaguely responds, after nudging his friend, she's a friend of ours from the mosque. Bashir gives Cash a look like, excuse me? Are we hiding our relationship with Fatima now? But then again, she is Ainsley's best friend, so how sour would that make you feel if you just were left at the altar how long ago and he's already dating somebody else? I'm just saying.
Truth.
But Bashir says nothing. And later in the evening, Gemma and Maya are getting down on the dance floor when a couple of British bros smarmily approach the pair and say, we couldn't help but notice you two lovely ladies dancing all by yourselves.
Ooh.
Maya swiftly responds, my boyfriend's getting us drinks. And Gemma and Maya try dancing away, but these two brosifs are aggressive. Come on, just one dance. Duffy comes with a tray of shots asking, what's going on? And British bro sneers, oh, the boyfriend returns. And British bro Chu tries squeezing Duffy's cheeks, exclaiming, oh, he's so cute. Mm. But Duffy's outraged and declares, hey, that's an assault in any court in the land, pal. British bro one retorts, oh, what's the waitress going to do about it? Duffy, fucking Duffy, narrates, well, first I'm going to put down these drinks. And before you know it, Cash and Bash cut in front of Duffy and Maya, and Cash says, oi, dickheads, they're not interested. Take the hint and get out of here.
Yeah.
Bash contributes, and take your little knob with you as well. And just in case you don't know, gentle listeners, knob is slang for dick, penis, cock, schlong, insert other terms here. British bro number one is fixin' for a fight and retorts, oh, we seem to have upset some terrorists.
Ugh.
Oh, Cash was gonna walk away. He was gonna do it. He almost was out of earshot, but once he hears that, he turns around and clocks one of them in the face.
Yes!
While Bash tackles the other one. And ultimately, Gemma, Maya, Duffy, Craig, Bash, and Cash are tossed from the club.
Ugh. Mm-mm-mm. While Duffy is nursing a bruised ego and a shoulder that got pushed for no reason by the bouncer, Cash is looking worse for wear and beat up. I'm guessing that Maya went to the convenience store on the corner and got a bag of ice and some napkins, and she rushes back so that Cash can ice his owies and she can clean up his bloodied face. A car screeches up to the group, and it's DJ Foreplay, a.k.a. Bashir. Maya helps Cash into the car and then runs around to the other side and hops in to continue caring for Cash. Bashir pulls away and Duffy is floored. Hey, what about me? He's been ditched by Maya without a word. And his shoulder got hurt, for goodness sakes.
Although, okay, another thing is too, Bash and Cash both got in a fight, but Cash is the one that looked like he got his ass handed to him. And he threw the first punch, so it's not like he was sucker punched. So I don't think he's very good at fighting, I'm just saying.
No, but like, I don't think he's very good at fighting. And he did get his ass handed to him. However, Duffy, who is complaining about his shoulder that got hurt because he was pushed by the bouncer.
Because he wasn't even doing anything. Like, I was just standing here. I was holding the drinks in case you saw it. Like, I put him down. That's all. That's all Duffy did. Duffy put down the drinks and then he got pushed to the shoulder. Mm-hmm. How dare he?
Yes. Poor Duffy. Mind you, I would be upset if I were in the position where my boyfriend ran off with some chick who, yeah, like, I do not blame him for being upset about being ditched.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah.
But him being a little baby pants about, oh, you totally hit me in the shoulder, bruh.
Yeah.
Like, you got,
Gemma offers Duffy, do you want to share a cab? And Duffy forlornly says, sure. Leaving Craig all by himself-ish. Well, not quite. One of the drunk women who was hitting on him offers herself up for a good time. Craig considers this, and then a taxi pulls up that has an advertisement for Love Chalet plastered on the side with a giant image of Zara's face. Craig guides the woman into the cab and lets her know he'll take the next one.
She looks so disappointed. Her face is practically smooshed on the glass as she drives away.
She's like, but you're not giving the cab driver your address? Yeah, no.
No, you're not getting in with me?
No. In the cab with Gemma and Duffy, Gemma is glowing and happy. It did get a bit dodgy towards the end, but I needed that. Thank you, Duffy. Duffy, who is busy being self-absorbed, asks, what? And Gemma repeats herself, looking happily at Duffy. Thank you for inviting me. I was home alone, missing Quentin, and Giles was out, and I was feeling lonely, and this helped. Duffy responds softly, no problem. I'm glad you came. Gemma pauses a moment and says, you do know you can do better than Maya, don't you? And Duffy looks halfway surprised, and I look fully surprised at this statement, but also agree because he could definitely find someone that is more into him / a more mutual love.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say also that this section showed me a new side of Gemma. Like, we always knew she was drinking wine, but she was straight, like, taking pulls straight from the vodka bottle on the dance floor. And she's a little bit hood because she went outside, and while they were waiting for cabs, she smoked a ciggy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, girl. I'd be right there going, let me borrow a fag.
Yeah, seriously.
Let me borrow a cancer tube that I really shouldn't be smoking right now, but I can't help it because every time I have a couple of cocktails, the one thing I want more in the world is a cigarette. Mm-hmm. I mean, a cancer tube.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Cash and Maya are in the emergency room waiting for Cash to be seen when Maya confesses, you know, if you hadn't clocked that racist asshole, I would have taken him out. Cash chuckles at this. Oh, really? Where'd you learn to fight? Prison? Maya shakes her head. No high school. I worked in an Oakland McDonald's. She threatens Cash. Hey, only 2 packs of ketchup per customer. Then chuckles, and a silence falls between them. Cash looks over at Maya and says, you know, I still think about that day we first met. Maya looks at Cash, and before they have a moment with each other, Bashir walks up behind them, exclaiming, bloody hell, I finally found parking, but what they charge for parking at the hospital is outrageous. My brother's been through a racially motivated dust-up, and the least they could do is provide discounted parking for the trauma. I want to know who's in charge of parking around here. That ain't no lie, because when my ex's brother was in the hospital and we had to move his car after it was parked there for a week and a half, it was damn near an apartment payment.
Wow. Yikes. A few days later at Ainsley's shop, a woman is purchasing some clear acrylic letters that have small flowers frozen in time in them. They spell the word fun, she exclaims. Don't you just love these? You can spell absolutely anything with them. Tony, too, exclaims. I know. Isn't the alphabet amazing? And if Tony 1 had been working, Tony 1 would have meant those words. But Tony 2 barely restrained rolling his eyes. The woman leaves and Ainsley gives Tony 2 a... I love this conversation they have with their eyes because I'm like, it's like me and Bridget. This is what we do all the time. She gives Tony 2 a, seriously, Tony 2, we needed that sale. Stop being a smartass look. And Tony 2 gives her the, I had no choice but to be, look. Their silent exchange is interrupted, though, when the man... Oh, sorry. When Tony 3 Louis Vuitton burner comes into the shop. She glares at him. Bro, seriously, what do you want from me? I haven't cashed the check. Do you want me to get it from the trash? Because it's still there due to me not being able to afford to pay a cleaning service because I didn't cash it. The man responds, no. I came by to thank you for not cashing it and wanted to hire you to decorate my bachelor pad. It's only 2 bedrooms and I'm hard to work with. Tony, too, cuts him off. Yes, yes, we'll do it. No questions asked. We desperately need the money. Ainsley relents. Fine, we can come over tonight and give you an estimate. It will be really high. The man smiles and says, great, but not tonight. I'm watching the Love Chalet finale. Tony, too, is standing behind the man, makes eyes at Ainsley, saying to her, this one might be a keeper.
Mm-hmm. For her or for you, Tony, too.
We all have our hopes and dreams.
Yes, well, that's a question that will be answered later.
Yes.
And it's the Love Chalet finale.
Ooh.
And now we have the moment we've all been waiting for, the Love Chalet finale. Zara and Garrett stand in front of each other. To the left, 4 other men stand. And to the right, 4 other women stand. All contestants were at the moment in the show when each couple professes their love to each other in a cute little speech. Garrett confesses, meeting you has been the best thing that ever happened to me. And when that motorcycle crash ended my exotic dancing career, I just thought, like, what's the point, you know? But now I know. The point is you. Zara radiates happiness towards him, and then Garrett gets down on bended knee, pulls out a ring box, and asks, Zara, will you do the honor of being my wife?
Wow.
He opens the box to show a giant diamond ring. Craig, who's watching Love Chalet by himself, watches in despair, but doesn't get to see Zara say yes because someone knocks on the door. He quickly pauses the show, exclaiming, damn it, Duffy, and opens it, ready to bawl his friend out. Who's standing there but Zara? She has a mischievous look on her face and says, hi, Craig. Walks into the room and then rubs her forehead, the signal that Craig has been seeing throughout the show. Craig smiles, and you'll have to tune in next week to find out what happens.
Oh!
Yes.
Man, they cliffhangered that one. I'm like, what's going on? What's going on?
Damn right they did. I'm going to stop right here and go back out there and watch the next episode.
Oh my gosh. We have relationships to talk about in this one.
Oh, do we? Let's talk about the hottest one first. Maya Duffy.
Wow. Wait, let me get my bowl of oatmeal. My mouth needs it, that kind of excitement in it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Maya and Duffy get one very dry kiss. And
they just look so uncomfortable. Well, no, okay, Maya looks so uncomfortable, and Duffy looks so earnest, and that is such a terrible combination.
It's a really terrible combination, yeah. Maya and Duffy are a non-starter, and I am just like, please, for the love of all that is good in romance and kissing, let's tear these two asunder.
Mm. You would think that their friends would intervene, too, after being like, you know, we thought it would work, but after seeing you for 3.5 minutes, I think I'm going to change my mind.
Seriously. Friends don't let friends do a Maya and Duffy. I'm just saying.
That should be on a shirt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I think it's also a very chaste one. Maybe 1.5 dry kiss. Because Maya was like, you're the nicest guy and we've been friends forever and I think this could work. But then I think she also might be reeling from all her heartbreak and love lost or loves that never got started. So maybe she's just like, ah, fuck it. I just want to get laid. And apparently Duffy's good at it.
Yeah, that's true. But when you have like a healthy dose of the ick along with that, it kind of ruins the whole good sex buzz.
Fair.
Okay. Fatima and Cash.
I thought it was super cool that she was like, I know we had a date tonight, but you go ahead and go out with you and your friend. I'm completely cool with it. And if she's actually completely cool with it, it would be even better, which I think she is. But
yeah, I think she is too.
It also kind of made me think, like, what are your...
How interested are you really in Cash?
Yeah. What are your intentions if you're letting him go out with his friend when you guys had a date night?
Yeah.
And Cash wanting to move the relationship onto the next level and her being like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
We agreed to do it this way, which is fair. But I mean, that just put him right back into the like bottom three territory. I mean, it's okay, but it's slipping into, are things cooling off between them? Are they?
Yeah.
Don't know.
I know. How many dry kisses do you give it?
Low three.
Yeah.
I still have hope. I thought it was cool that she let him go and that Cash wasn't like, you know, I mean, it was just, hopeful. It was a hopeful situation, but also like, damn, you guys seem to be like losing that love and feeling.
Yeah. But they did have that, which is why it's a low three instead of like a two. They had that moment where the kiss tractor beam was on and both of them were looking at each other like, hey there, for just like a moment. Uh-huh.
That kiss tractor beam was on for that moment. But every time that goddamn Maya and Cash got in the kitchen together, it was like chemistry after a few seconds.
Yes.
And even in the hospital, when he was all beaten up and bloodied, they were still like, I still think about that first time I saw you. No, quit it. You quit it. You're going out on a date and my boyfriend is, where is my boyfriend? Oh, damn, I left him on the street. Oh,
oops. Okay, so speaking of which, Maya and Cash.
Oh, God damn it. They're the fucking, I'm so conflicted.
They're totally in emotional affair. Like they're getting into emotional affair territory.
If we had a dry kiss rating sheet, mine would be like a fucking line graph that just keeps going up and down, up and down, up and down. Because I'm like, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no.
Yeah.
Because I want them to be together, but I also don't want them to fuck anybody else over. So I just like want Maya to break up with Duffy nicely and then Cash to realize that him and Fatima might not be ideal for each other and then wait like 2 years or so Ainsley won't get super pissed at him for getting together. Ainsley's gonna be so mad if they wind up together. Like, you gotta leave some serious cooling off time or she's gonna come with the fucking fires of hell behind her.
You know, but like Tony too said, hey, what kind of connection did you actually have? And she looked at him and the hamster was going on her brain and there was no light that went ding above the hamster's head. It was just like, oh yeah, we don't really have a connection, do we? And it's like, yeah, you don't.
Yeah, they don't. But you still saw how she acted at Craig's apartment when Cash was there for a fucking Love Chalet watching party. She lost her shit. And that was just somebody that was in a living room, not in her best friend.
But what if he falls inside her? That's the, you know.
A likely story, yes. I think that's it. You can't really say Craig and Zara because they only had that one moment and it was just shot to shit. So
yeah,
not even a relationship, just like a reverberation from whatever happened. I think that's the only relationship. Oh, wait. No. Scratch. Record scratch. Was there a little tiny bit of tension between Gemma and Duffy in the cab ride home?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wasn't there? Did a little smidge of chemistry when I was like, oh, that might. That makes me think some thoughts.
Mm-hmm. And it like kind of brings me back to when she's like, you know, you can do better than Maya.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, you mean like you, honey? And then it brings me back to when they were in the backyard together, excuse me, in the garden. And she said, you're not planning on like doing a romantic gesture out here. And he's like, oh, no. And she knows it's Maya and he's going to be doing that. And I have a feeling that she back then, when she was with Quentin, although she loved Quentin and nothing was going to happen between her and Duffy, she kind of was like, I kind of vibe on Duffy and he can do better than that best friend stealer, Maya. Mm.
Maybe she was just a smidge jealous because Duffy was out there with the say anything get up trying to woo his best friend while her husband was overserved and potentially sleeping in the bushes because it reminded him of his childhood. Stark contrasts in love interests is all I'm saying. One's doing you froze. And I was like, why are you looking at me like that?
I was like, you're frozen. That's what I'm looking at. You're frozen. Like that.
You were just like this.
Yeah.
So I kept talking because I'm like, don't you agree? You're not having any sort of reaction to me. You're just staring at me like I'm crazy.
That's because
okay, I'm gonna keep talking.
That's because you were like. Yeah. So, okay. Maya and Cash, I give a conflicted 3 dry kisses to. And Duffy and Gemma, I give a 2 dry kiss to.
Oh. I think. Yeah, I think 2 dry kisses because there's, and that's a hopeful 2 dry kisses again, because I might just be reading into the situation in the moment, but yeah. I am hopeful that I am right.
Yeah, I am very feeling the same kind of vibes you are. And I totally agree. I am hopeful. I am right with this. I mean, just like, let's just get off the Maya and Duffy train. Choo choo. That train is done and over. I mean, they don't realize it, but maybe Maya does, but like it really just needs to be done.
That's sad because this train ride's been going on for all of like one whole episode. We're always like, are we getting off now? Is this over? Is this our stop? Can it be?
I was like, when they were kissing in the front yard, I was like, okay, we want to end thing. No, we're done, right? That's that kiss was weird. Okay, we're good now. Yeah, no.
Yeah. I think I had a visceral reaction where I was like, ugh. Yeah. I mean, aw.
Seriously. Okay, so Tam, what do we have coming up next week?
Next week, I think we have more 4 weddings and a funeral.
Wow.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that's what's happening. Can you confirm, Corinne?
It might be episode 6.
Wow. And you know what 6 sounds like? Sex.
Ooh. So we know it's going to be hella fiery next episode.
Something's got to happen because we still have only had 1 funeral and a half a percentage of a wedding.
Yeah.
So...
There was a wedding. It's just nobody got married.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. You are correct there.
Yeah. So if you have anything that you would like to say about Craig and Duffy. Craig and Duffy? No. Not Craig and Duffy. I mean,
hey,
they have
more chemistry.
Seriously, they do. They have more chemistry than Maya and Duffy do. Maya and Duffy, Duffy and Gemma, Cash and Fatima, any of that stuff, tequila Ritas. You can reach out to us via email at onedrakiss@gmail.com or Instagram and Facebook all at onedrakiss.
And as always, if you can find the time to rate and review us anywhere you listen to this podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. But in the meantime, we thank you for stopping by, and we bid you adieu with 1 dry kiss. See you later.
See you later.
Did your alarm go off for a reason?
Oh, drugs.
I got to take my drugs too. Let's go together.